One of the best things you can do to market your school is to create a content calendar. In this episode, I want to talk to you about the why and the how. The why is going to cover why do we need to be creating this content calendar in the first place. And then as a result, you're going to understand a little bit more about the importance of it in the bigger picture of what you're doing to bring people into your school to fill those seats. The next thing is the how. And I'm going to share with you a free resource that you're going to want to take advantage of that we've provided specifically to help you understand more of the why. It's actually a two-part free resource. Understand more of the why and get your kind of some, go deep into some ideas, real practical ideas for you of what kind of content, what topics could be included and so forth. And then we're going to share with you of how to do this, how to create an actual calendar to help you manage your content. So what I mean by content is, yes, there's content all over the web. There's any material that you consume that could be content. But what I want to talk to you about is particularly the things that you have online related to your school that's going to be on your website or and usually shared within the context of a social media platform. So content on your website. There's a lot of pages on your website. Most of you have at least 20 pages on your website. Some of you may have 10, but then there's some hidden pages there. But by and large, most schools that I work with across the country have at least 20 pages, and some of you are in upwards of 60. So there's a lot of content, meaning text primarily. There's things to consume for anybody particularly looking at your school. There's a lot for them to read. We'll talk a little bit more about some other ways to deliver that content a little bit later in this episode. The thing I want you to think about is, you know, it's beyond just the what I would call the static pages of your website that fall under usually the category of the four A's: the arts, the academics, the athletics, and probably an about page. Those four pages, for most of you, spend a lot of time crafting a message that will communicate who you are as a school and your desire for those families who are reading those pages to come to your school. And so after you get past the four A's, you're going to have some subsequent pages that talk about things. But what I want to get to today is, why is it important to create content that is more than just the four A's? Well, the reason is because people are looking for more than that. Now, granted, they will at some point in the process, and I would argue that it's not always the first thing they go to is one of those four A's. Now, they will eventually kind of probably poke around on those pages, and probably should, because there's some good information there. Usually there's another one somewhere. I need to come up with another A, I guess, but it's usually the financial, the tuition page that they'll come across. But what I think you can do with content, other kinds of content, is to give them a little bit more of a story before you give them just the facts. I like to call this inspiration before information. It's not in lieu of. Everybody needs to have a certain amount of information. They need to know what kind of dual credit classes your school offers. They need to know what kind of sports teams that you offer in the fall and in the winter and the spring. They probably want to know a little bit about who their the history of the school, or at least the guiding principles of the school, the core values of the school, the vision of the school. So all those things that you're going to find on those academics and fine arts and athletics pages that's information. But they really need inspiration. So this is the heart versus the head. And I don't mean that in a competition way. I just mean it to be, you've got to include more than just the head, facts and knowledge and content like that. So the why is to create kind of content that's more dynamic, more targeted. One of the exercises that I go through with my clients, when I step into a new Christian school, usually a K-12 kind of school, we'll sit down at length, so over several weeks, and discover who it is we're trying to reach. Have a thorough process in which we go through to really outline who it is that we try to reach. And we try to isolate usually at least three different kind of personas, Some people call them character profiles, segment, market segments. Generally, I'll give you a few examples. For example, like a young first child going to school kind of thing, maybe a pre-K, even kindergarten mom. And obviously there's some stereotypes or just generalizations, but oftentimes at that age, it's mom who's doing the digging into what school would be best. Dads are much more involved nowadays, but still mom is primarily the one who's operating on a desire, a need, maybe a little bit of fear, no frustration yet. They haven't really entered the system, the education system yet, so. But there's a little bit of concern, like if I don't get this part right, I've made a lot of decisions up to this point when they're 5, 6 years old, but if I mess this one up and they don't get started off on a good education path, then I may screw up the rest of their life, you know? So if that's the underwriting fear of that mom, then that can cause her to want to find certain kinds of information. But I would offer giving her some inspiration would be better in the beginning. So we're going to create content that's geared around her, but you could do another persona. I like to use an example of like a frustrated middle school dad. And so dad's got kids who've been into all the little peewee, little league, all those young youth sports, and they've thrived and they've enjoyed being at every game. Dad's might be being coached the games. And so soccer, baseball, basketball, football, whatever it is, dad's been involved. And so dad has been raising up his little athlete. Not necessarily having eyes on the NFL or the NBA or the MLB right now, but, you know, at some point in time, you think, I can't wait for them to get into that. Maybe the middle school, but certainly they have their eyes on high school. Maybe dreams of college, I don't know. But dad's all of a sudden found at seventh grade, you know, Jonathan does not play because Jonathan just doesn't have the skill level that others do because there are so many other kids. Maybe Jonathan's skill level is good, but not exceptional. Maybe he's got great skill, but he's not as tall as the other guys. He's not as big as the other guys, so he's not playing football like that. And whatever the reason is, Jonathan is just on the sidelines. And dad's used to him being out in the game. So he's kind of frustrated. Now, granted, there may be a combination of concern about the academic part, but there's a reason why parents begin to look other places, look for other options. And a lot of times they can't look for another school district from a public school option. And by that time, I don't know how many families would just jump into a homeschool if they haven't all the way up until middle school. It's very unlikely. But they might look for another private school. I know at my kid's school that happens often. So frustrated middle school dad might be another one, and there's other personas, but you're writing content, you're capturing content that's geared toward those personas. So what I want to do is share with you this resource, this two-part resource that will enable you to get access to this why and the how. And so I'll share with you a little bit in just a second how to get that access. But the first part is understanding what's the topic? What is he talking about here? What kind of content should I capture? And I'll use the word capture as a global term for what, those of us at the age that I'm at, that, you know, we grew up with the website, so it's primarily all text, right? You just create web pages. Oh, we need another page about this. Well, so let's write some more stuff. And we write and we write and we write. But we forget there's other ways of communicating. And so there's usually primarily three ways that you can deliver this content. So by and large, anything that I say at the rest of this episode and into the exercise that you'll do once you download that free two-part resource is I share it from the vantage point of that there's three ways to deliver content. One is written. And like I said, we've done that for years and we know how to do that. And that's probably the easiest. The easiest to create, but possibly if it's at any length, the least successful sometimes. Just because, you know, people don't have time to read. They're multitasking, and especially if it's anything beyond 500 words, they just like, oh, I'll table that for another time and I'll read it later, and they never come back to it. They can't read it while they're driving, or they shouldn't. There's different ways to get that done, but most people don't. Most people just put it aside and say, I'll read that later. But there's also audio. I like audio. This is an audio format. You're listening to me. You're likely not just sitting there. Some of you might be enjoying just a time to sit and listen. Bet you're probably multitasking in some way. Maybe you're checking an email, or maybe you're driving. Maybe you're walking the dog. Maybe you're out on a jog. Whatever it is that you're doing, you're able to do more with audio. The other part about audio is research has proven your attention span, and this even is surprising. The third content delivery mechanism is video, and I'll talk about video in just a second, but audio has a longer attention span than video. Then there's some reasons why that. Audio, you can go and do longer things. I mean, usually about, I've seen anything from 15 to 30 minutes. Usually they say a sweet spot is around 20. But, and I think that some people, that's just a length of a commute, a length of a dog walk, length of a jog. I don't know if that's the reason why, but it seems to be people have a longer attention span when it comes to audio. Probably because they can do more things, and so they can maybe walk around and clean the house. I listen to podcasts all the time, whether I'm going on a walk or walking the dog or cleaning the house, whatever it is on a long drive, I'm listening to things. Whereas video, and as far as audio, you also get to hear my voice, which today is a little bit of a struggle. So I've got some allergies that are kind of bothering me. So obviously there's a downside of audio, because if you don't like my voice, then that's going to be a struggle. But one of the other things that people have shared with me is when they've become a client of mine, several of them have said, I started listening to your podcast and I really enjoyed what you had to say. But, you know, digging deeper, they kind of share basically is it's nice to hear a voice, kind of get a sense of who somebody is, what it's going to be like to work with them. And so, you know, as a parent, they're listening to your head of school, head of athletics, head of arts, admissions, you know, whatever it is. Listening to their voice is somewhat comforting because you kind of get a sense of who they're like. So I am really a strong advocate for schools to have podcasts where they can imagine if you have a middle school principal, head of middle school that is on a podcast that's doing something every month or weekly. Well, as a parent of that frustrated middle school dad, I get to listen to that middle school principal, and maybe even athletic director together. I get a sense early on, I like the way they sound. I like, not just about their voice, but really I like, they bring me comfort. The kind of ideas that are in their head, that comes off the page a lot more than just on audio, or just on a written text. You can do more in audio. So like I said, audio is a very big miss for a lot of people. It doesn't take a lot to do audio, but you can certainly deliver content via audio as well. I'm actually, just to be transparent, there's a lot of different ways that could record audio because of travel. I'm in Los Angeles right now, so I'm having to improvise a little bit and just recording simply on my phone on audio, which may account for some of the quality that you may be kind of struggling with if that's the case. Sometimes it's a good quality, but it just depends on noise in the room or the quality of the microphone that I'm using, whatever. There's different ways to get better, more consistent quality as well. The other thing that about audio, real quickly before we move on, is that because of the, it's much more, that's where you get, it takes a little bit more to do because you've got to think about who the voice is that you want. There is often some editing. We'll do a little bit of editing, but I try not to over-edit my podcast or episodes like this, any broadcast, because, well, one, it just takes too much time, so naturally you're going to get some rough edges by doing that, but also kind of tend to think, I listen to a certain podcast where I can feel like it's just overly edited, and it doesn't seem natural, so you're getting it raw and authentic with me this morning.